The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 27, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 1st, 2007, in Tucson, Arizona, USA.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjohosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat karushva madarpanam. Krishna is explaining to Arjuna here, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Our wonderful founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, explains herein the innermost meaning of this wonderful verse. He says, thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies, therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. This is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi as substantiated by the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I just received today an email from one of my students named Elizabeth. And she said that she had a problem centering her consciousness. When she was at home, she had that did not have that difficulty, but she found she does a lot of traveling. And it made it very difficult for her to always be centered. So she asked me that you're always traveling and you appear to be centered. So what's the secret of how to be centered? So I quoted for her this verse, and that's why I thought I'd share this verse with you all today. Because this is the perfect verse of all, there's so many, you know, so many wonderful books of wisdom in the world. Many, many, in many cultures and many traditions. But this particular verse, Bhagavad Gita 9:27, is really the ultimate formula for centering your consciousness. Wherever you may be, it doesn't matter. You can be at home, you can be traveling, you can be at work, you can be in a traffic jam. This is practical stuff here. this is a very, this is not some, you know, pie in the sky when you die by and by, or chip, you know, glob jamuns in the sky when you die by and by philosophy. This is a very, very practical system that you can hear today and you can apply tomorrow, you see, or you can apply tonight on your way home. It's a very, very practical system. And what does it do? It enables you to tap into that unlimited reservoir of pleasure that's there within you at every minute. Mm-hmm. It is like here we are in the arid zone, Arizona. But even in a desert, if you can drill deep enough, you can tap into water. So this whole material world is an arid zone in terms of spiritual bliss. But if one can learn how to tap into that reservoir of pleasure within by perfectly centering one's consciousness, you see, then you can taste unlimited bliss at every minute. This science of how to do that is called Krishna consciousness, or you can call it Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, Jehovah consciousness. Prabhupada even said universal consciousness. It's a scientific system. It's not a sectarian thing that it belongs to one sect. No, it's a, just like science. According to science, H2O equals water. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, an atheist, or whatever you may be, H2O is still equal to water, you see. So this scientific system, which is called the Bhakti Yoga system, is not a system of a particular sect. It's a universal process which enables the practitioner to perfectly center their consciousness, to actually tune into their actual being, you see, their eternal being. Right now, we've actually been programmed here. In America, they've done an excellent programming job on us, you see, thinking, yeah, I'm a man, I'm a woman, you see. Or I'm, you know, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that. We've been very well trained here. I am the body. Even when you come, as soon as you come out of the womb, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. You see? We were trained from the very beginning to think, I am, yes, this is me, this flesh and blood is me, this rotting corpse, which is destined for the grave, that's me. I mean, it may be okay for a while, but when it starts to actually deteriorate with old age, it's not so cool to think that you're your body. Really, it isn't. But if you can center from the very beginning, if you can tap into your actual spiritual nature, which is bulletproof and, you know, Al-Qaeda proof and everything proof, then, you know, you become fearless. You become completely free from fear. Nothing can faze you anymore because you know who you really are, you see. You know you're not your body. You know you're an eternal spiritual being. You know you have a relationship with the source of all that exists because you're coming from that source of all that exists. In the Bhakti Yoga science, you learn how to be completely synchronized with that source of all existence, you see. You learn how to become in a state of perfect harmony with the source of all existence, which is revealed here in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, that's me. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti bhajante mang buddha bhavasa manvita. I am the source of everything that exists, you see. So, you can say Christ, you can say Krishna. Krishna doesn't say you have to say Krishna. In fact, Krishna came 500 years ago and taught that there are hundreds and millions of names for God. And each and every one of them is fully potent for delivering one to the enlightened state of consciousness. But he personally chanted Hare Krishna. That was his mantra of choice. But he didn't say you had to chant it, but that was his choice. So that's why you may wonder, why do you people always chant Hare Krishna? I mean, why don't you do some hallelujah, hallelujah, or, you know, Allah Akbar, Allah, you know. Why are you always chanting Hare Krishna? Are you sectarianists or what's going on here? No. We're very pragmatic people, you know. We'll just chant whatever mantra gets us on the transcendental platform the fastest, you know. You know, if you're trying to get to a place, you'll look for the fastest, most effective mode of transformation, transportation and transformation also, actually. of consciousness. So just like tomorrow, I'm going to Austin. And so, you know, I could walk. I could take I could take a horse, you know. I could take the bus, in the case of tomorrow, taking the plane is the most practical way. So, I mean, I don't say that walking is bad or riding a horse is bad. But because the airplane is going to get me there in the most effective, you know, time-efficient manner, I'm taking a plane. So in the same way, we chant Hare Krishna, because we have found by seeing and even trying many, many different modes of centering the consciousness, we have found that this Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the cutting edge in consciousness transformation. It's cutting edge stuff. This is it's given in the Kali Santaran Upanishad that of all the different mantras in the Vedas, this one particular mantra is the most effective mantra for making one a spiritually enlightened being. Hare Krishna, etc. So, but the science is universal. If someone is a Christian, they can chant the name of Christ and achieve it in that mood. A Buddhist, whatever they may be, a Muslim, if they will adopt the principles of bhakti in their particular tradition, they will come to the same exact position of pure love of God. Pure love of God is that perfection of centering one's consciousness. Because love is really the basis of all relationships, isn't it? If you have a relationship which is based on exploitation and not based on loving service, that relationship is not really a solid relationship. That relationship will break in due course of time, you see. So just as on the interpersonal level, you know, with each other, if we really want to have satisfying relationships, we should not base it on exploitation. We should base it on pure loving service to one another, you see, trying to always see the needs of the other person. That's actually what will give us the greatest satisfaction. And when we do that, and we take that mood for others, and others will take that mood for us, and it becomes a very wonderful atmosphere of mutual loving service. If we take that same principle of loving service, which is really the only effective way that we can get along peacefully together, whether it's husband and wife, neighbors, you know, different nations of the world, if we take that same principle of loving service as being the only way to maintain an ongoing, you know, peaceful, happy situation, and we apply it on the existential level, on the universal level, then we have to have a loving relationship with our very source, with God Himself. So Krishna very mercifully describes here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita who He is and how we can actually establish a loving relationship with Him. I can never forget back in Denver in 1968 when I was a young, you know, 21-year-old kid looking for spiritual enlightenment. And I just happened to stumble upon a Bhagavad Gita in the Denver Public Library. And I checked it out, I took it home, and I read this verse where Krishna says, if you will offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. I was blown away. Wow! God Himself will actually accept something from me? I can offer something to God personally and He'll personally take it from me and accept it? So I started doing that. I started offering all my food. I got a picture of Radha and Krishna from a gift store in downtown Denver. And then later on, I found out there was a movement of people who were doing this. I didn't really know about the movement yet. But something inside me told me that this is what you should be doing. If you really want to center your consciousness, you have to have a loving relationship with the Supreme Person. Not just theoretically, but actual practical activities. I would chant. At that time, I had a job in the downtown department store. You know, I'd walk home and, you know, sit down. I'd put some food on my little altar. I'd chant Hare Krishna. And that way, I would take prasadam and, you know, the mercy of Krishna, the foodstuffs, and I would absorb myself in His name. So this is actually, you know, you can do it as in the Christian tradition, or you could do it in any tradition. It's not, again, it's not a sectarian thing. But it is a universal science of giving loving offerings to the Supreme Person, you see, and absorbing yourself in His name. It's a universal science of centering the consciousness, of reawakening your actual spiritual identity, which is light years beyond your material body, you see. So I'm traveling all over the world. I'm finding that people all over the world are getting very, very excited about this process of Krishna consciousness. I'm seeing how there's a spiritual revolution now in the works all over the world. And I'm very happy to see that you all are a part of it here in Tucson. That you have gotten some attraction to your actual nature, you see. Your actual eternal, blissful, knowledgeable natures. You've gotten somehow attracted to that, and you want to plug into that, you want to connect with that. And that's really wonderful. I have to thank you, congratulate you for what you're doing here in Tucson. This is wonderful what you all are doing. I encourage you to keep going and go all the way to the perfectional stage where you can see God face to face at every minute. That Supreme Person is just waiting to reveal Himself to you, you see. Where you can actually see Him within everything and everything within Him at every minute. He's waiting for you to, you know, just get pure enough, you see. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He's just waiting for that moment when He can fully reveal Himself to you. So please continue in this way, what you're doing. On the practical level, I'll give you some insider secrets in this connection. There's a special, according to astrological or astronomical principles, there's a time of the day known as Brahma Muhurta, which begins in 1.5 hours before sunrise. If you will get up at this time of the day, there are certain modes of nature that are working at different hours of the day. At that time of the day, it is the most conducive time of the day to center your consciousness. That is the most conducive time of the day to meditate on God. So if you'll get up, I don't know what time that is in Tucson. It's pretty early here, the sunrise. There's no daylight savings here, so you all, it's pretty early. But if you'll get up early before sunrise, and you will chant Hare Krishna, or name of course, if you're, you know, a Muslim, you can chant Allah. Any Muslims here today? Whatever your tradition is, you chant name of God, or if you're not really plugged in to any particular, then chant Hare Krishna. You get up early in the Brahma Muhurta hour and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We recommend at least, in the beginning, at least 15 minutes to a half an hour. And we have beads. If you really want to get into it deeply, get the japa beads from the gift shop and chant on the beads. Devotees will teach you how to do it. It becomes, the beads actually amp up the spiritual potency. That's why we use them. They increase the spiritual potency when you chant on the beads. But we work, those of us who are initiates, we chant for 1.5 to 2 hours every day. But in the beginning, 15 minutes to half an hour is good. Just get in there, get your feet in the water, start to center your consciousness every day, every morning. And you'll be amazed. I remember the first time I did this. At that time, I was a young songwriter, countercultural songwriter in San Francisco Bay in 69. That's where I left Denver. And the devotees invited me to their temple at 518 Frederick Street. I spent the night there and they showed me the beads. They had some beads hanging on the wall. It was like communal beads. Everybody could chant on those beads. So I chanted one round, just one time around those beads. And I had the most incredible day I'd ever had. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was just, I called it laughing ecstasy. I was in a state of bliss. And it was amazing. That evening, I was a songwriter. I was writing songs practically every day. You know, it was like a whole, it was part of my spiritual discovery, you know, writing songs. And then sharing my realizations. But that evening, after I spent the night at the temple, I chanted one round of japa. I was visiting some people, and they're all watching television. I was thinking, what a downer, you know, what an energy drain, you know. So I went and wrote a song. Do you think I'd waste my time playing around in misery when I'm so close to nirvana? I really felt that after I chanted that japa, that spiritual enlightenment was coming soon. I didn't know how I was going to come. It finally did. You know, I got, here I am under Prabhupada's lotus feet. You know, you saved me. But I had this intuition that, you know, don't waste your time anymore with mundane activities. Just focus on the spiritual pathway. And that was just from chanting one round in the early morning. I had an incredible realization. So I challenge all of you tomorrow morning to try that. Get up, chant at least chant for 10 minutes. If you don't have beads, just do it 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes minimum. For you to sit down, if you have a picture of Krishna, you can light some incense and offer it to Krishna so he can enjoy the nice aroma. And then chant in such a way that Krishna will relish the devotion you're putting into the chanting. Just do that for at least 10 minutes and then see what happens during the day. Just see if it was the most incredibly wonderful Monday you ever had in your whole life. Just try it. Everyone try that tomorrow morning. And see what happens. You may be surprised. You may be surprised what will happen to your consciousness. And how a whole new reality, you know, will open up in front of you. What you thought was Tucson, it's just a screen for a much deeper spiritual reality which is lying beneath it. You see. This whole material existence is just a screen, actually. It's a curtain. And you have to learn how to open the curtain. The mantra is what opens the curtain. When you chant the mantra, then amazing things happen. You see reality like you never, in such a wonderful, inconceivably wonderful way that you never could think in your wildest dreams that existence could be this ecstatic. That's what can happen if you absorb yourself in the mantra. So, that is my request. We have 5 minutes here before the kirtan breaks loose. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
I guess on a day-to-day basis, I guess if you're trying to chant regularly, at some point, sometimes it just starts becoming, you know, I guess trying to develop that loving relationship with Krishna becomes really kind of stale almost. So how do you...
I'm half deaf, so you said developing that loving relationship with Krishna seems...
I don't know, just I guess the process sometimes...
It seems impossible?
Mm-hmm.
Stale.
It becomes stagnant and stale.
Oh, the process of doing it becomes stale because it seems unlike an unattainable goal. Like, you know, like I'm just trying, I'm going nowhere in my advancement. I'm trying hard, I'm not really going anywhere, and it gets boring and stale. Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that Krishna can be seen. Actually, Krishna, Prabhupada explains that actually we are all seeing Krishna at every minute. But there's different ways of seeing him. Prabhupada compares it to an auto mechanic and the car engine, you see. The average layperson, when their engine doesn't start, they look at it and they can look at the engine, but they can't figure out why it's not starting. But if they bring in the qualified auto mechanic, he's seeing the engine and you're seeing the engine, but his seeing is different. He sees, oh, and he immediately can fix, you see. So those persons who are highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, in one sense, we are all seeing Krishna at every minute, you see. But that person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, his seeing and your seeing are different. So, if you're not going anywhere, if your engine is not starting, you see, you're stuck with an engine that won't start. That's why guru is required. And guru is the expert auto mechanic. He can look at your engine and he can see, oh, this adjustment. So, this is why it is recommended by Rupa Goswami. What is that shlok? Adau Gurashvayam. The very first step of one who is very serious to awaken their divine consciousness is to take shelter of the bona fide guru. Call in the auto mechanic. Because he can look and he can see, well, oh, this. See, you can't figure it out. But he can immediately see what is deficient in your consciousness which is stagnating you in your progress. So by taking the instruction from guru, then And following that, you will find that you get over your stagnation. You see. We sing every morning, by the mercy of Guru, one makes advancement. So if you're not going anywhere, then that means, are you initiated disciple? Yes. Well, there are many wonderful gurus in our ISKCON society. And many of them are visiting here. I am one of them. There are so many other illustrious spiritual masters. So you need to hear from these spiritual masters and make some relationship with one or more of them and get personal instructions from them, you see. At least from one, but you can try many of them also. And ask many of them for help. But actually this is just like sometimes we shop from different auto mechanics also. See which one can do the best job on fixing our engine. We try this mechanic, that mechanic. See which one is the most effective in helping us. So you really need to consult with those persons who are spiritually... Also devotees here. Your temple president, St. Damini Manaji, she's a very advanced devotee. She can guide you. You can take shelter of her also. So in this way, by taking shelter of older devotees, taking help from them, they can help you over those... What you're going through, they went through and they conquered it, you see. The stagnation you're experiencing, they conquered that in the path. So take advantage of those devotees who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. And that will empower you and enable you to quickly advance. It's like in India. You're from India? Yes. Well, you know in India that many people don't have cars, they have bicycle. But sometimes they have to go 30 kilometers from the village to their place of work. So how do they get there quickly and easily? They grab a hold of a bus, you see? In America, the police will come. You cannot do. But in India, no problem. Just grab a hold of a truck or a bus on your bicycle, free ride, you see. So you need to find advanced devotees and just grab a hold of them and hang on for the ride. And that's the easy way to get over your stagnation. Any other questions? We have about 30 seconds maybe. Everyone's satisfied now? You ready to chant Hare Krishna tomorrow morning before the sunrise? Everyone's ready? Very good. Anybody who wants to... I have my e-courses here. Anybody who's eager to correspond with me, ask personal questions or whatever, I'll just leave my cards right here on this pillow. There's about 12 of them. First come, first serve. Anybody want my free e-course is there. You sign up at www.backtohome.com, and my email address SDA, like Sugar David Apple, at backtohome.com. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Awakening the divine consciousness within you ki jai.